Oh yeah, real lifers, citizens of the world, welcome to the Real Life Global Movement, where our mission is to inspire, empower, and connect the world through English.
We believe that English should be a fun and enriching part of your life that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want. Are you tired of boring lessons that suck the life out of your learning? Are you ready to step up your game and become a kick-ass English speaker?
Well, we're here to guide and inspire you on your journey to true lifelong fluency. It's time to stop just learning English and start living it. Can I get an aw yeah?
Aw yeah!
Aw yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, finally, after such a long time, not sure how long, but the Real Life English Podcast is back in business.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, I'm Chad from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, and...
doggone awesome.
What is that?
Doggone awesome.
Doggone awesome. What does that mean?
It means damn awesome, but it's a much more, less offensive word.
Doggone?
Uh-huh.
Never heard of that. Is that an American thing?
Yeah, you should watch my video, Alternatives to Swear Words.
Okay. Alternative to Swear Words.
Yeah, it's actually kind of a redneck word, like from the more conservative rural part of the United States.
A redneck.
Uh-huh.
What is a redneck?
A redneck, the back of your neck gets red.
Okay.
But that's literally what it is, but it's kind of like, it's a stereotype for less sophisticated, less educated people in the United States, mm-hmm. more than the country.
Can you do an impersonation of how they would speak?
Not a very good job, because I probably just sound like people from the South in general. And
okay. We won't try in case we offend anyone out there. But, so yeah, I'm joined here with Justin. How are you doing today, man?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm happy to be recording the podcast again. It's been too long. And just so you guys know, if you're listening to this, that means that, well, maybe it's your first podcast you're listening to, but we've actually decided to change things up a little bit here. And we're going to be at least trying it out for now. New podcasts, well, a new way we're doing the podcast is unedited. What does unedited mean, Justin?
It means that we do not edit the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you could even say that this is unplugged for a musician.
Unplugged.
Yeah. Unplugged is something different. What's unplugged?
Unplugged is when, I think, it's like acoustic, right?
Yeah.
Technically, it's not plugged in.
Yeah.
Plugged in means when you attach the electrical cord to mm-hmm. the wall, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, in case you didn't know, previously on the podcast, we've tended to edit quite a lot of what we say. A lot of the stuff that we say doesn't go into the podcast, but we decided to be a little bit more lenient with what we say and just have an open conversation.
What do you mean by lenient?
Lenient means to be not as strict.
So more flexible.
Very flexible.
Yeah.
And we wanted to kind of change the structure of the podcast, so it's just us, two English teachers, having an interesting, hopefully an interesting conversation about life, about whatever stuff's happening in the current affairs, or who knows what's going to come up in each podcast, but that is going to be the new structure of the podcast for the time being.
What does for the time being mean?
For the time being is an expression which means just for now.
Mm-hmm.
Just for this time, we'll see what happens. If it's good, we'll keep doing it. If you guys think that it's not as good as the previous structure, maybe we'll go back, right?
Yep.
Cool. All right, so Justin, then, just before we get into a serious conversation here, tell us, what have you been doing recently, man? What's been happening with Justin and with Real Life English?
Man, I've just been working my ass off.
And yeah.
I've been teaching a lot, and I'm just like you.
Yeah.
You know, we've been working really hard together, building this platform, building this international English speaking network, which we just closed for a little while,
mm-hmm.
but we're getting really ready to to move into Seed Minas, which is it's a startup accelerator that is actually supporting us and give us an opportunity to take this to the next level. Mm-hmm. So we're going to hit the ground running.
Oh, hello. Wait. Some new vocabulary there. To take something to the next level, what does that mean?
It means to step up our game or to step up our performance, step up to increase our level.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. And you also said to hit the ground running. What does that mean?
So next month, we're going to start this program, and this like the government of Minas Gerais, Brazil, where we're living, the state, is going to fund us, our company, in order to develop this. And so this program is going to start, and when we say hit the ground running, it means that you move into something really ready to get going, really ready to do your best from the very beginning.
Yeah, it's like you already have a lot of momentum. Like if you were a skydiver, someone who jumps out of an airplane with a parachute,
hit the ground.
Well, when you land, like if you're parachuting down to the ground, and when you actually make contact with the ground, you have to already start running with your legs. So the moment your feet touch the ground, you're using the momentum so you don't like fall over and hurt yourself. So you have to kind of hit the ground running, or else you just kind of like flop onto the ground and you could break a leg or something.
Yeah.
Have you ever been skydiving?
I haven't. Have you?
No, I haven't. Would you like to go one day?
Oh, man, I would love to.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not afraid of heights?
Of course I am, but that's part of life, right? You have to face your fears.
Yeah. Have you done any radical sports?
I've done some cliff jumping before.
Cliff jumping? What's cliff jumping?
It's where you go to a place where there's water, deep water, and then you have a cliff, which is like a really steep or really high rock. And then you climb up to the top, jump in the water from really high up, and usually that's facing a big fear. It's very scary. Have you done that before?
I have. Yeah. I don't know if it was a very high cliff though. What would you classify as a cliff jump? Like, does it have to be a specific height?
No, I guess to invoke fear. I think that's, if it's scary, then I think that's a cliff, I guess.
Okay.
You know, my...
So even if it's 1 meter high and you're scared and you jump in, that's a cliff jump?
Well, you know, for a little kid, that's a cliff, right?
Yeah. I think I jumped in Australia, in Perth, we have some cliffs. They're probably 10 meters, which is pretty high. From my, well, looking down, it's much scarier than when you're down and looking up. It just seems like it's much higher.
Yeah, but it's very liberating when you do it. It's just this rush of adrenaline. Yes, I can do it. And after that, it gets a lot easier, right? I would say the same thing with anything you accomplish in life, anything you're scared of, right? Same thing with speaking English or speaking another language. At first, you're very scared, right? But then you do it, you take the challenge, and it gets easier each time.
Yeah, and that's really cool, because as you were just talking, or you were just telling the listeners earlier about how we're really focused on building our platform, Real Life Global, one thing that we've been hearing from people who have been using the platform is that, just so you guys know, if you haven't used it before or you don't know what we're talking about, our platform is a English-speaking platform where we're creating, it's like a social network. You can make a profile and you log on and you can add friends, etc. But the main functionality is, well, it was called the Power Chat, but we're going to change it to the Global Chat. And what it is, it's a place where you can just log on and you connect to other English learners from all over the world for 3-minute conversations. But we're thinking about changing 3 minutes to maybe 5 or 10 minutes. We're not too sure.
We're going to do a lot of experimenting to see what works best with many aspects, and that's one of them.
But with our previous platform, and until we closed it just recently so we can fix it and make it better, each conversation was for 3 minutes. And people are telling us that it was really a great opportunity to, you know, face their fear of actually just speaking English. And because it's 3 minutes, it's really quick, and it's a continuous thing. You go 3 minutes with one person, then another person. It's really helping people overcome their fear.
What does overcome mean?
Overcome means it's not to face the fear, but it's to let the fear not exist anymore.
It's like to transcend it, right?
Transcend, yeah. You can also use overcome an injury. No, you don't say that, do you?
Yeah, you overcome obstacles, generally.
Obstacles, yeah. I'm thinking of a different word. For some reason, I was thinking of the word to undergo.
Mm-hmm.
Like surgery,
uh-huh.
Which is nothing related to what we're talking about, but I thought overcome and then undergo,
mm-hmm.
Two interesting words there. Awesome.
So just stepping back a little bit, so this program, just to help explain what this program is, we've been on an evolution, Real Life English, since we started. If you go back to the first podcast and listen, you'll see that's when we were just starting out. We were English teachers, we were building a community, and publishing stuff on our blog, and videos, podcasts, all of this stuff, which you guys know us for. But recently, we've gone through an evolution. In building this platform, we've had to learn a lot of new things. And so these programs are called accelerators. These are really intense 6-month programs, which bring us a lot of support and really teach us a lot about business and about how to build a global company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so hopefully that's going to really... I think the next 6 months is going to be really some big months for Real Life English. And I think you guys, if you keep following us, you're going to see some really cool big things coming our way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Chad, you and Ethan were just in Portugal, right?
We were.
Representing Real Life English. What were you guys doing there?
We were participating. It's like another accelerator program, except it wasn't funded. You used that word earlier, funded. What does funded mean?
Fund means to give you kind of like investment or money to sponsor what you're doing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So that's to fund. It comes from the word like fundings would be like money you have to invest in your company
and,
or something.
And the major thing that we use funding for is actually to build the technology we need. That's
mm-hmm.
the hardest part because none of us are really... none of us are programmers or technologically focused.
Yeah, but in Portugal, me and Ethan were there. It was a program that was teaching us about business, about startups, about how to technically build a tech company like what we're doing with Real Life Global right now. And it was awesome, man. It was an awesome experience. Portugal is a I didn't really get to experience it so much, but it seems like a really cool place.
And what did you learn about? You were doing like a lot of workshops and a lot of practice, right?
Yeah. I mean, we were learning pretty much about business, about this idea of lean business method, the lean startup methodology. It's a way of doing business in a lean way. So lean means... Lean can be like skinny. Like if a person is very lean, it means like they don't have very much fat content.
Uh-huh.
So to build a business using lean methodology, it means you keep your resources very skinny. You don't use a lot of resources. You test things before you actually build them and spend money on creating them.
You treat it like a scientific experiment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what exactly is a startup? Can you tell me there? I think there are a lot of misconceptions about that, right?
Yeah, a startup, well, a startup is pretty much just a business, but it's a business that starts with very, very limited resources and very limited people.
It's kind of like it's an experiment, like a new business model.
Yeah.
That's... you think possibly could maybe change an entire industry, right?
Yeah, I mean, early stage startups were like maybe Henry Ford when he first created his company. That was technically a startup, right? I mean, he was starting something new. Steve Jobs, he's one of the most famous startup founders. It's a startup while they're still very low key.
Mm-hmm.
Low key means that they don't have much... not many people know who they are, they're not making a lot of money, or they're not producing a lot of whatever their product or service is. But, yeah, and the startups, like you've mentioned now with this era of technology that we're in, startups are also, generally nowadays, they're related to tech companies,
mm-hmm.
like online companies, because they can expand really quickly. They don't have to send an actual physical product all around the world, they can do it at the press of a button. They send or they send their product virtually,
Yeah, so basically this is our journey. We started off as English teachers, we started building our community, and then all of you guys told us, we learned what your big problem is. And we realized what the big problem is, that you guys need a place to speak, to use your English, and to connect with the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the new and improved Real Life Global coming soon, guys. So hopefully you guys will be able to use that within the next couple of months, or just stay posted with us and keep listening to the podcast, because we'll keep giving you new updates about where we are in relation to that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's been a long time since we've recorded an oh, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Cool. And the focus of this podcast, we wanted to talk about some business stuff. I've already introduced you to the idea of a startup, and Justin just showed me earlier today a video on YouTube. The video is called Stuff Business People Say, and it was just very interesting because they're using a lot of business jargon, right?
Like kind of cliche terms, right?
Yeah. Well, first of all, what's jargon?
Jargon is a language that's very specific to a certain area, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say this is all jargon, because some of this stuff I think we use, but some of it is definitely like big time jargon.
Yeah, maybe I'm completely wrong. I mean, I can Google this and find out. But for some reason, when I think of jargon, I think of those terms, for example, in business that one person says it, and it starts to become a trend of always using that word or always saying that kind of stuff.
Yeah, just an example, like when we first became a startup, maybe like a year and a half ago. Just kept hearing everywhere, like, you know, B2B, B2C, when they describe companies, right?
Yeah.
And I was really confused at first until I started learning more about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a business that is like business to business or business to consumer, right?
Yeah. B2B is business to business, B2C, business to consumer. So if you are a company and you sell a software to another company that uses that software to serve people, that's a B2B. But anyway, enough of all this business jargon.
We're not really that much business jargony types of
business jargony type people.
Yeah, but you do have to like understand it to some degree to be able to participate in that world of business and startups, right? Mm-hmm.
But another question here, Justin, is you probably get asked this a lot as well, which is through your teaching. People often come to me and they say, "Hey, Chad, I need you to teach me business English."
Mm-hmm.
What do you generally say to people when they ask you that? They say, "What is business English?" Or, "Can you teach me business English?"
I try to get a feel for where they're coming from first to see if they have like a really good base for that too.
Okay, I think. Let me stop you there. You said, I try to get a feel of where they're coming from. What the hell does that mean, man?
I try to feel to really understand, right?
Mm-hmm. I guess to get a feel or something is to understand, but also to really interpret.
Uh-huh.
Interpret it by what they're saying and also how they're acting or their body language, to get a feel.
Maybe a feel for their English too, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's like, I mean, do they have a sufficient base?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes people might be saying that from, you know, a very valid perspective. Other times they might be quite naive.
Naive. What does naive mean?
Naive means maybe you have a perspective that's not so developed on something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean by that is like a lot of beginning learners will say, "Oh, I want to learn business English," but they don't really have like a big base for their English. They don't know like the basic stuff of just how to connect with people, because they have this idea that business English is its own type of English that you can learn independently.
Yeah.
This other type of English, but really every successful businessman knows how to connect with people.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like that question of what's the difference between British and American or Australian English. I mean, your main purpose for learning English is to communicate, and even in a business perspective, you want to be able to like kind of gauge what the other person is talking about.
What does gauge mean?
So gauge would be, it's similar to interpret, to feel, like to
To calibrate, right?
Yeah, well, gauge would be used maybe with a temperature gauge.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to see how hot it is, you look at the gauge. So a gauge would be that, generally it's like a circular thing that has like numbers, and it'll say like, oh, it's very low, it's medium, high medium, or really high. It's a gauge. So if you can kind of gauge how formal or informal or casual that person is, you want to try to connect with that person on that level of formality. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And another kind of misconception that is related to this is that people think, you know, in business situations that people speak mechanically, that they do not connect their words.
As if there's no emotion there as well.
Yeah. But we use connected speech and the pronunciation. We use gonna, wanna, gotta, you know, I'm gonna go to the, right? Mm-hmm. Things like that in business situations too.
Mm-hmm. So repeat, how would you say using connected speech, I am going to go to the office early today?
I'm gonna go to the office early today.
One more time?
I can even say, I'm going to go to the office early today.
Whoa, man. One more time, really quickly. Oh, like kind of slowly but quickly.
I'm going to go to the office early today.
I'm going to go to the office early today.
I said, I'm going to.
I'm going to.
I'm going to go to the office early today.
Okay, I'm going to. That's very American, right? I'm going to. I'm going to. I'm going to.
Yeah, it's more like you might say that if you know, are sure you're going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go now.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
That does sound very familiar.
But. Yeah, so I would just say, we talk about this all the time in a lot of our videos, you know, how native speakers connect and cut their words.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times in business settings, people speak really fast, connecting their words too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fundamental part of all types of communication.
Yeah, so I guess it is just you have to know your business. If you're working in an office that's special, you know, whatever the business is, if you're working there, you should know about that business. So you should be able to find your way, you know, if you already know all the vocabulary in your language and how that kind of works, I don't think there's a really big big difference between learning, like, you know, sports vocabulary, business vocabulary, what other vocabulary is there to learn? I mean, it's all about how you engage with the language, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You develop different aspects of your English in different situations. So, if you can engage in the business world, great, but don't limit it to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to form relationships in English as much as you can. You need to develop habits in English. You know, read, watch TV, watch series, watch TED Talks. Do as much as you can. Do what you would do in your native language. And so don't think about the business world in like this insular way.
Mm-hmm. What's that insular?
Insular means like you're separating that from the rest of your life.
It's kind of closed off, right?
Yeah. I'm learning business English. It's just like only business English, but you have to really learn English as a complete part of yourself and your life if you want to be successful in business.
That's true. It's very, very true.
Another thing I would say, like, usually when I start teaching people, I'll ask them, like, why are you learning?
Mm.
And a lot of times the first answer is like, oh, because, you know, to get a better job.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever, to make more money. Or, that's valid, but I always challenge people to really dig deeper.
What do you mean by to dig deeper?
To look more. Mm-hmm. To really explore, like, their motivation.
Yeah, well, that's the figurative meaning, right? Yeah. What would be the literal meaning of to dig deeper?
Like, to dig, you dig a hole in the ground,
yeah.
Right? You dig with a shovel. A shovel is the tool, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, but there I would say that most people that start learning English for like business reasons, or if they really, really keep digging deeper, they see that English opens up into this whole other dimension of a new way of looking at the world.
Mm-hmm. And I think you really need to dig deeper in this case, because if you're just using English for business, I mean, unless you just really, really love business and it's a bit of a passion of yours, it's probably very interesting. But for most of us, or most people, like, just focusing on business will get boring after a while. Unless that's just what you want to do in your whole life, you know?
Yeah, yeah. There's this kind of psychological idea of, like, you know, self-actualization, which is kind of like, you know, to realize your potential.
Mm-hmm.
To really develop yourself to your maximum potential, and I think English is a really excellent way to do that, because it is, you know, going back to business or whatever your job is, whatever your profession is, you're going to find like the best information in English generally.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, just because the internet is so filled. I think it's like 70% of the internet is in English or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know what the number is. So,
yeah, me neither. I'm just guessing. So I'm probably totally wrong. But
just circumstantially, it makes a lot of sense to really, for that. I mean, to really be able to reach your potential and your, not just your profession, but whatever you're interested in.
That's true. Awesome, man. Well, what I was saying earlier is that Justin was showing me this video. The video is called Stuff Business People Say. And I'm not sure if this is a... There is a series on YouTube. You can type in either stuff and then, like, fill in the blank, people say. So, I'm from Perth. There is a interesting video I saw recently saying... Well, the video was called Stuff Perth People Say. And we just did a quick Google search here, and there's actually one stuff Seattle people say.
Yeah, they're called, people from Seattle are called technically Seattleites.
Seattleites.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is interesting if you guys have some spare time and you want to hear some funny things from all around the world, different English speaking countries. Just type in stuff, and then you type in whatever city you can imagine. So like stuff. English people say, or not English, because that would be very generic, but you know, stuff Australian people say, stuff, I can't think of any other cities right now, but just play around with that, because you'll find some interesting YouTube videos. But today we're going to just quickly summarize, not all of them, because there are a lot, but some of the vocabulary that was on this pretty funny video, right?
Yeah, we already did all the heavy lifting, it's okay.
What do you mean by the heavy lifting?
This is one of the expressions in there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do all the heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. It means I'm going to do the hard work.
Yeah.
To lift, right? Mm-hmm. You lift the heavy stuff. Mm-hmm. I'll do the heavy lifting. You can take care of the rest.
Yeah. So maybe the heavy lifting would be like, it depends on what field you're working in. If you're a salesman or you have a company that sells stuff, maybe the heavy lifting is actually like getting the sale, you know, actually negotiating, and whatever is considered the difficult part of that job is the heavy lifting.
But in real life English, we probably translate that to the bitch work.
The bitch work, yeah.
And we do not mean bitch by prostitute, like a lot of people might think.
Okay, right? You're going to plug your article right now?
Yes. What do you mean by plug?
Plug is a term saying... I guess it's used in advertising, it's to promote.
Yeah.
So if you see this, a lot of authors or actors, they might go on a talk show or a TV show and they plug their new book or they plug their new movie.
Yeah, actually, thanks for bringing that up, Chad. Yes, I am actually one of the world's authorities on the word bitch.
Yeah.
So if you type in Google, how to use the word bitch, my article comes up.
Yeah. So, every time you type in bitch to Google, Justin Murray appears.
Yeah, you know, we've also monopolized other swear words too. I wrote quite an influential article on the word ass as well.
Okay. Yeah.
So
if you want to learn about bitch, asses, Justin is your man.
But just to go back to this, bitch does not.
Oh wait. There's a this. Yeah, so even though this is unedited, we're going to keep the sirens from the background in the podcast.
They're probably the police. They heard I was teaching swear words, right?
Yeah. Or maybe an ambulance. Is that an ambulance or a police siren?
It's probably an ambulance. Yeah. But
I think ambulance are more like... aren't they?
I hope if it is an ambulance, I hope those people are all right.
So. Yeah. Surely they are. Maybe it's someone, a woman who's pregnant, and they're bringing new life to the world.
That's only hope.
Yeah.
Okay, so
anyway, back to bitch and ass.
Okay, so bitch, most people mistakenly believe that bitch means prostitute, but it only means prostitute in when you like rap music. That's bitches and hoes.
Yeah. Surely it's not just rap music.
No, but generally it's like a bitch. If you call a woman a bitch, it's not polite at all.
No,
It's bad, but it's actually more like annoying or unsupportive. You can't handle her, right?
Mm. Right, for a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you can't handle her, but nowadays sometimes the word bitch has been used because she's... a woman is has this kind of authority, and she bosses people around, and she gets things her way. It's like, well, she's a bitch, but
don't you think in a positive way?
No, not in a positive way. No, but I mean, a woman sometimes might call herself, yeah, I am a bitch, because she, you know, she's proud of that. She's proud that she's kind of, she can be aggressive too, and she can tell a dude or a man what to do, you know?
Yeah, you know, I did include in my article this song, there's a song called Bitch, about the authoritative, liberating woman.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we can play them out with that.
I think it's Alanis Morissette, right?
No, it's Meredith Brooks.
Okay, cool.
But anyway, what I was saying here is like bitch work. You know, usually to call a man a bitch, it's or you're my bitch, for example.
Mm.
It's like, he's your bitch. He's yeah. like your servant or your slave almost, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So bitch work is kind of like subservient work that's not very fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if you had an assistant that would do all of your errands, you know, like it would go and mail your post for you, or pick you up some coffee, or do your photocopies. It's kind of considered bitch work. It's work that you don't need any specific skills to do, and it's stuff that you typically wouldn't want to do, so you get someone else to do it for you. Right?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's all about...
excuse me.
The pecking order, right?
The pecking order? What is the... Yeah, should we jump into the actual business vocabulary like we had planned on doing?
Well, that sort of is
yeah,
business,
right? That is business, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the video, but pecking order is usually like the kind of the hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean...
And pecking, what does pecking mean?
Like a bird pecks, right? I don't know if I understand the meaning, the sense of it, you know?
Like, you mean how, like the metaphor of it, or
yeah.
the figurative sense? Well, because a bird pecking, oh, I was going to do it with my hand, but you guys can't see, is how a chicken, you know how a chicken kind of goes up and down, he just like pecks.
Yeah. Woody Woodpecker.
Woody the Woodpecker.
Can you do the imitation of him?
I don't know what it is.
You don't? I'm not a big good at imitating him, but...
Okay. He makes a noise?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean, like, doesn't he just, like, I'm gonna hit on the wood, it's like...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That'd be Woody the Woodpecker. It's a bird with a very sharp beak,
uh-huh.
and he pecks wood. He, uh-huh. he hits the wood very hard and makes a hole in a tree and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So pecking order would be the line of the hierarchy of mm-hmm. of a company or a business or something mm-hmm. like that. But let's jump into some other stuff. A game plan. We didn't really have a game plan for this podcast, right, Justin?
Yeah, well, we sort of had a game plan. What does game plan mean?
So a game plan would be, it's pretty much just a plan, right? It's a sequence of actions. Like, we have a game plan. How are we going to get what we want, what we desire?
Yeah, it's an idea of how you're going to do things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what's the game plan?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. So you can come into a meeting and say to your employees or your coworkers, all right, guys, what's the game plan?
So it's a metaphor from sports, I'm pretty sure, right?
I guess so, game, right?
Yeah. Another expression that I like, it's related, I don't know if it's on this video, but game changer.
I think that is on the video, yeah. This is the game changer.
Game changer, what does that mean?
A game changer means that you have maybe an idea or a concept that is going to totally... maybe revolutionize the market that you're in, or just totally change how people think about your product or how they perceive your service or something like that.
On the other end, this is an expression that I use today, actually, deal breaker.
A deal breaker.
What is that?
A deal breaker, so a deal would be a business deal, like a negotiation.
An agreement, right?
An agreement. Nice, good word. And the deal breaker would be if there's something that is in the agreement which says, oh, we're not going to do the deal.
Uh-huh.
It's something that prevents you from, you know, shaking hands on the deal or signing the contract. And no, that's actually the deal breaker. I'm not going to agree to this if they are the terms.
Mm-hmm.
Terms, in this case, would be the... how would you define terms? Like the rules or the agreement? What's written in the paper is like the terms.
Yeah, the criteria, right?
Criteria. Okay, lots of new vocabulary here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is where the rubber meets the road, right?
I didn't get that one. Rubber meets the road, is that similar to hit the ground running?
It's similar in the imagery.
Okay, yeah, that's why I'm thinking of that.
No, when you say that's where the rubber meets the road, this is kind of like where the most important part of it is. This is where that thing is decided. So, for example, what's an example? Okay, you're learning English.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You need to study. You need to actually make it a habit out of learning English, out of implementing what we teach you. That's where the rubber meets the road.
Okay.
You applying what you know to be true.
Yeah. So rubber in this sense is a material, generally what a tire is made from, like a car tire or a bike tire. So when the rubber hits the road, that's when traction happens and the car or the bike will like propel or go forward.
Mm-hmm. That's where success happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? That's where the rubber meets the road.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. You were mentioning sports metaphors and sports expressions. Another expression that is on the video is to play hardball.
To play hardball, yeah.
What does that mean? To play hardball.
To play hardball, well, I think it means like baseball, right? It's mm-hmm. a baseball metaphor. So the ball is hard. So mm-hmm. the pitcher throws it, and he throws it faster. It's harder to hit. By hit, you mean like you hit with a bat?
Yeah.
That long, hard bat that you use?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think we're going to edit that out. No. Normally, we would edit that out.
I'm actually laughing because Justin is imitating it with his hands, and it just looked really, really funny. But
I was doing like the baseball pose, hitting hitting with the bat, swinging the bat.
Okay, cool. But that's the literal sense. Figuratively, how do we use the expression to play hardball?
To play hardball means I'm not going to mess around. I'm not going to make it easy. We're going to be serious about this.
Mm-hmm. Maybe even in a, we talked about terms and what was the expression I said about signing an agreement, a deal, for example. Mm-hmm. If you're playing hardball, it means that person is not being very flexible with what they're going to give in to.
Actually, you know what? I think that's a really good definition. I think it's much better than mine.
Okay. So, again, we're not going to edit this, but if we were in a competition right now, I would be one and you would be zero.
All right. Let's play hardball now.
Okay. Maybe we can find a win-win situation.
A win-win?
Yeah.
What does win-win mean?
Well, talking about business deals that we're talking about right now, if I'm playing hardball, it might be because I want to get more from the deal,
mm-hmm.
which is not necessarily good, because if you're going to be making any kind of agreement or business deal, you want to make the deal a win-win situation. So I feel very good with the deal. I feel like I'm winning something, and the other person, being you in this case, feels like you're winning too. So everyone's happy.
And the opposite would be win-lose, right?
Win-lose, yeah. Or lose-lose.
Yeah. So this is actually a concept in Seven Habits. Highly Effective People. Great book.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of an important part of...
Stephen Covey?
Stephen Covey.
Covey.
Yeah, it's kind of a book that we read when we first started building Real Life English.
Another, just to stop you there, just something that popped into my head right now was the reading books, but also audio books. That's something that I've started doing recently, and it's been really, really awesome. Like, I've been doing it in English, but I've also been suggesting some of my students download and start listening to audio books. And they've been telling me that's really good for their English.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the more English you can integrate into your life, and also like learning too, is unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, just going back to my list here. Win-win. Okay, so
one thing I was going to say just about audiobooks: a lot of times people don't have the bandwidth in their life for really to read that many books, right?
Yeah.
But if you
Okay, I'm just going to stop you there. The bandwidth. You said people don't have the bandwidth to read so many books.
Yeah, bandwidth, for example, it's usually we use this with technology.
Like the internet, right?
Yeah, internet bandwidth. How many megas, right?
Yeah.
And so is it 30 mega? Is it 20 mega? Is it 5 mega? Is it 1 mega? And so like the more bandwidth you have, the more information the more capacity you have for mm-hmm. new information, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you say, like, I don't have the bandwidth in my life for it, it means you just don't have enough concentration. You don't have enough, like, psychic energy, right?
Yeah. You can't process it and really, really remember. Like, for example, you don't have enough bandwidth to read a book or whatever. It means if you were to read it, it's just too much information, you can't hold it.
Yeah, there's another expression that's kind of similar, like, you know, when you're really overwhelmed.
What does overwhelmed mean?
It means you have too much, you're working on too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might say, I have too much on my plate.
Okay,
it's like
a good expression.
A food metaphor, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just have too much on your plate, you can't eat it all.
Yeah.
Another one, I know I'm on fire, man.
Okay, keep them coming, man. People are here to learn vocabulary, and you are delivering.
Bite off more than you can chew.
To bite off more than you can chew, similar to overwhelmed, right?
Yeah, just like when you imagine if you bite like a really big bite of the apple,
mm-hmm.
your mouth is full and you can't chew it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it means like take on a project that you just can't process. Right?
Yeah. Sometimes people who are overly confident, they think that they can do everything, so they accept a lot of work, but later they realize that they've bitten off, bitten being the conjugation, bite, bit, bitten. A person can say, oh, I have bitten off more than I can chew, means that they've accepted a lot of work, but not realize that they can't actually do it all.
They don't have the bandwidth. Their plate's too full.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. What about another one I heard here? Yeah, this is very relevant, to hammer out.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes people are really good and they can just hammer stuff out.
Uh-huh.
What does that mean, to hammer out?
To hammer out means to... It's almost just like a really focused, powerful, aggressive way of just doing work, right?
People that are very focused and heads down.
Mm-hmm.
Heads down is another expression, means like your head is literally like down and focusing on your work and you're not being distracted by anything. So people that can, you know, have a heads down approach to their work generally hammer out a lot of work very quickly. They're very productive.
Yeah, just like with a hammer, right? It's just hard hitting.
Mm-hmm.
You hit it really hard.
What's a hammer? Again, you're acting it and people can't see you.
It's true. I apologize. We're going to start doing video podcasts.
We should, man. Maybe we should. If it's very visual, you know, maybe
yeah.
we can start doing some visual stuff.
You have a hammer and a nail.
Mm-hmm.
So the hammer is the tool that you use to hit the nail.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it's a very powerful tool.
Like, are you familiar with the superhero Thor?
I think I've heard the name before. I don't know him.
You don't know Thor, man?
No.
Damn. Well, he's a superhero, and his magical tool is a big hammer.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he hammers lots of stuff out, you know?
Okay. Heads down, hammer stuff out.
Yep.
So yeah, you know, maybe if you're a ninja, maybe this is how you do things. What do you mean? What does ninja mean, by the way?
I didn't say ninja. You said it, but
what do I mean by ninja?
Yeah. Well, ninja is exactly what you guys probably think it is. It's a, those sirens are in the background again. Hopefully you guys can still hear us okay. But a ninja is a martial artist from Japan, I think. Is a ninja generally Japanese?
Yeah.
That's a samurai. I don't really know. We can Google that later to find out. But
well, it's from the east, I think it's Japan. It's Japan.
Okay. But ninja is, I'm just going to hit pause really quickly while this thing passes. Okay, awesome. The sirens have passed, and do you remember what we were talking about? That sounds like no. Anyway, whatever it was,
I think I said something. I said, you know, I know what you mean, and then but what I
oh
meant.
Ninja.
Yeah,
there you go, ninja. Okay, so ninja, yeah, it is that martial artist. I think they were technically security guards for the ancient Japanese. I'm not gonna try to invent a story here because I don't really know. So
it's just
Google it.
It's just a master, right? It's a master fighter that wears black, covered their face and their whole body in black. But
okay,
in the tech industry and in business, a lot of times they say, like the example they gave in the video was like a coding ninja.
A coding ninja. So coding is to develop.
Program, right?
To program, yeah.
Program, computer program, but. This is a term that is so overused. We used to use this a lot because I think when we first started, building Real Life English, the startup and technology and all this, we were like, "Ooh, ninja! That's a cool word."
Yeah, yeah.
But now it's kind of cliche, right?
Well, we also have our good friend, the English Ninja.
Yeah,
Kevin, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But Kevin is actually Feel Good English now.
Oh, okay, Feel Good English.
But
he'll
always be a ninja to us.
He started as a ninja, now he's just delivering that feel good energy out there, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so ninja is used to say that someone is a real expert at whatever it is. Like maybe it's not even technologically related. Maybe I could say that guy is a sales ninja.
Mm-hmm.
He sells things really well. He's like a ninja. He's really, really talented at his art, which mm-hmm. is selling stuff, which is an art as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
How about we just like do one more? Because I feel like this is maybe dragging on.
What do you mean by dragging on?
Dragging on means that it's we're not being so focused on what we should be talking about, and we start rambling.
Yeah, what do you mean by ramble?
Ramble is to talk about something that is not relevant to what you're supposed to be talking about.
Exactly. Chad, this is something I want to talk to you about because...
I ramble?
No, this is the stuff we edit out, right?
Yeah. Because generally we just edit this stuff, and now that we're not editing...
We need to be disciplined, right?
Yeah, we need to be podcast ninjas.
Yeah. let's get our shit together, man.
Okay, get our shit together. What does that mean? Because that's a good expression.
To get your shit together means to focus, to organize your faculties, your mind, your attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe if someone is kind of not very organized in their life, or they're arriving to work late all the time, or they're not being very responsible, you could say, hey man, you got to get your shit together.
Yeah, and... if you want to learn more about that, there's an article. Chad, are you plugging your own article?
Yeah, I am. I wrote an article about shit.
We have one of the world's leading authorities on the word shit here with us today.
Yeah, awesome. We'll link all of those articles in the show notes of this podcast as well, by the way.
Swear words and business, they go together, hand in hand.
Oh, nice. Hand in hand. What does that mean? It's generally to go together hand in hand as well, right?
Yeah, hand in hand. Hand in hand means two things that go really well together, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Business and swear words. People in business tend to use a lot of swear words.
Don't use it too much, though. I did write an article on how to swear responsibly.
Yeah.
Read that, too.
Also, make sure if you're going to use a swear word, you can gauge who you're talking to, then know that they will not be offended when you use it.
Yeah, you have to get a feel for the situation, right?
Exactly.
For the people you're around.
Cool. Just, you mentioned to get a feel of something again. Just one last expression I want to explain from the video. And also, guys, we're going to link the video in the show notes, too. So check it out. I think you guys are going to really find it interesting, especially after listening to this podcast, because all the vocabulary is going to just start coming up.
Yeah, I learned a shit ton of new vocabulary.
Hey, man, I'm the shit guy. You're the bitch. You're the bitch and the ass man.
Okay. A shit ton is like a lot of something, right?
Yeah. Again, very informal. Be very careful if you're going to use this word, because the word shit is technically a bad word, right?
It is. I'm only using this with you guys because we know each other.
Mm-hmm. And this is real life, you know. We're not using it to offend anyone. We just want to teach you where and when and if you even want to use these kinds of words.
Yeah, so these are kind of advanced. That's what I wanted to say. Some of these, like I learned when I watched these, some of these are advanced, but other ones are kind of like pretty normal and cliche.
Yeah. But that last expression I wanted to talk about today was to put your feelers out. That's an interesting expression, right?
Yeah, I've never used that.
You never used that?
No.
Okay, so what is a feeler? Because you mentioned to feel someone out, right? To feel a situation. So a feeler, I'm using some hands expressions here as well, so what does that mean?
To put your feelers out is to basically, it's almost like send your intuition out into the world mm-hmm. to like understand the situation, right?
Yeah, think of what animal has feelers? It's, for some reason I'm thinking of an octopus.
I was thinking the same thing.
But that's not a feeler, is it? Because that's tentacles.
Yeah, it's more like, to use another metaphor, it's more like a search party that sends a scout ahead.
Sends a scout ahead, yeah.
A scout is like the person, imagine we're like in medieval times, mm-hmm. like in Game of Thrones or something.
Okay, yeah.
And we're out like marching to a city, another city, but we send somebody ahead to really scout,
mm-hmm.
scout or explore the terrain.
Yeah,
the
scout.
Land.
Scout means to just kind of see what's happening. He goes and checks things out. And for example, if there's an enemy waiting for him, only the scout will get killed, and not the whole army. You know.
But they'll come back and generally report like what's ahead, right?
Yeah. And to put your feelers out in a business sense is you know, maybe if you work in a company and you're thinking of developing a new aspect of the company or a new part of the product or a new feature, maybe you can put your feelers out and connect with some of the users or the people or your customers and see how they react to this idea of building this new thing. You're seeing what's going on with your customers. Maybe it's the market. You know, put your feelers out into the market and see what other people are doing and just get a broader sense of what's happening. And I said an octopus because they have tentacles. They have those eight arms, I guess, tentacles, where they use them to feel what's around them. It's mm-hmm. kind of a way of protecting themselves.
Yep.
Cool. So we're always looking to put our feelers out and ask all of our listeners and people who read our blog, and we love connecting with you guys. So if you have any questions or suggestions for us, you can contact us personally, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't mind giving your personal email out?
Yeah, man. This is what I'm here for.
Cool. So you can contact me, chad@reallifeglobal.com or
justin@reallifeglobal.com.
Yeah. So we are always open to suggestions, feedback, even if you want to just say hi, what's up. We love getting highs and what's ups too, right?
Yep.
And
I would just recommend also that, you know, we have, just get on our mailing list too, not only to receive our weekly updates and so we can send you more awesome content like this, but we have some really cool free stuff that we only give to members of the Real Life English community.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also I have to plug our YouTube channel. I'm focusing on YouTube videos again.
Yeah, man, you're doing a rocking job there.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, man. Appreciate
it. Liking it, man.
Cool. Well, yeah, again, check us out on YouTube. I'll add a link, and even a subscribe button is on the blog. On the right side of the blog, you'll see a YouTube subscribe button. And if you subscribe, you'll get all of our newest videos as soon as they are released. We're doing at least one video a week, possibly two, depending on how much stuff is happening here with Real Life English. And that's about it for today, right? So this is the new unedited Real Life English podcast. Let us know what you think. We still accept 5-star reviews on iTunes, so that would be awesome to get that. Just spreading the love around the world, and hopefully in a couple of weeks or maybe even a month, we will be re-releasing the Real Life Global platform and would be able to even, you know, talk to you guys in the new global chat, right? New video chat.
Yeah, the past 6 months have been unbelievable. We've met so many awesome people, formed relationships, really formed friendships. It's been quite an impactful experience and a big learning experience. And so now, as we mentioned before, really moving into this program, it's like we're taking all of that learning, all of that insight, and really going to put it into a product that we think is going to make a big impact.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty kick-ass, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, thanks a lot for joining us today, guys. And we're really happy to be back. And you're going to hear from us next week, right? Every week again?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to play them out with what song?
Meredith Brooks.
Meredith Brooks? That sounds like... I don't know who that is, but it sounds like a redneck kind of country singer, right?
No, it's very similar to Alanis Morissette, I think.
Okay.
So you probably, if you know Alanis Morissette, it sounds very similar.
Okay, awesome. And the song is called?
Bitch.
Okay.
Or it might be I'm a Bitch, I'm not sure. But
okay. Either way, that's the song that you should be listening to right now. And yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Have an amazing week, weekend, wherever you're listening to this, whatever you're doing. Just hopefully you're having a great time.
And don't just learn English, but live it.
Oh, yeah. 1, 2, 3, oh, yeah?
1, 2, 3.
Oh, man, you're totally out of sync.
Okay.
1, 2, 3. Oh, yeah. You must have been relieved to see the softer side. I can understand how you'd be so confused. I don't envy you. I'm a little bit of everything. I'll roll into one. I'm a bitch. I'm a lover. I'm a child. I'm a mother. I'm a sinner. I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed. I'm your help. I'm your dream. I'm nothing in between. You know you wouldn't want it any other way. So take me as I am.
may mean you'll have to be a stronger man. Rest assured that when I start to make you nervous and I'm going to extremes, tomorrow I will change and today won't mean a thing. I'm a bitch, I'm a liar.